Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't know. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you got it.
Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Remy.
Got it!
Levine, turnaround jumper up. Get it! Onions! Baby onions! Put him in the Hall of Fame.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Matt, what's going on? How are you, man? I know we've had a plethora of interviews over the last couple of weeks, and just to kick this week off, had a great conversation with Will Perdue, and then I got a chance to talk to our friend over at Locked On Kings, Matt George, a little bit about Buddy Hield. So it's been an exciting week, but how are you, man?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, really enjoyed talking with our pal Will. We can get into some of our thoughts on that conversation, and then we'll be doing some mailbag later on. I was not surprised when I saw you posted that little snippet of our chat with Will, that at least one person took issue with Will kind of sticking up for his old pal John, talking about the front office overhauls. I thought that was pretty entertaining.
It was fun. Like, if there was a bunch of different things that jumped out to me throughout this conversation, and I mean, if we would have been able to just sit and talk with Will for 3 hours, kind of break more of that down, but I mean, he was giving us such good information and things that I didn't normally think about, or maybe I guess I forgot about. But one of the things was his credit to Paxson about finally turning these things around, and I was curious to hear what Bulls fans were going to react. I was expecting a bunch of tweets underneath that promo video where it said, give me a break. And there were a couple of those, but I guess I was actually shocked to hear somebody say that they, you know, as much shit as Paxson has got over the last two or three years, to still give him credit for some of the changes that are being made in 2020.
Yeah. I mean, upon hearing it back, I obviously understand what Will was trying to say. And I do think that he is correct in saying so to a certain degree. And I think it makes you worry about the fact that this team is still owned by the Reinsdorfs a little bit more than it does make you turn your nose up or scoff at the, well, you got to give John credit. Because as much as I think the fan base was ready to move on from John, I think for the most part, it's not out of... You know, I don't think it's ridiculous to suggest that most people among the fan base who took issue with the front office had a bigger issue with Gar than with John. And at least John, at some point in the deep, dark past, and some fans, you know, like folks like maybe your age and younger, Jordan, don't even remember the Paxson who sealed the team's third title by hitting the three in game six against Phoenix, who helped seal the team's first title by knocking down all those shots in game five against the Lakers in 1991 when they were double and triple teaming MJ. That is always, I think, the reason why John had as much loyalty as he did from the Reinsdorfs, as Will was talking about. And yes, you have to give John some credit for being the one to come to Michael and Jerry and say, this isn't working, we have to make a change, in essence, firing himself. But to me, like, that doesn't cover all of the things that I think the fan base was rightfully frustrated about when it came to John Paxson at the tail end of his very long tenure. Yes, give him credit for being the one to instigate that change, but it, as some people were commenting underneath that segment of our chat with Will, I don't think that's not the same thing as saying he is completely absolved of all guilt of how poorly it went towards the end.
Luck and hope are not a strategy or a plan.
I do think that though we had this conversation if what it feels like is like 4 years ago, but it really was 4 months ago, Matt, where the new front office took over, we had all these extended conversations about kind of looking back, and hindsight is always 20/20. And I don't think Will is like, hey, every Bulls fan needs to give 100% of the credit to John Paxton for this thing finally changing. I think it was he was one of the influences, one of the people, one of the very few people the Reinsdorfs will listen to and actually take his word. And when he's coming to you basically asking to quit and be absolved of this organization, at least from front office duties, and he's constantly telling you things need to change. And I remember maybe The Athletic wrote an article too, kind of breaking that down with like, when was the pinpoint moment where it clicked for the Reinsdorfs, either Michael or Jerry or both? And they talk specifically about maybe the road trip in Utah back in 2020, early 2020 in January. It was some West Coast trip where they finally had a conversation where he's like, major changes need to be made. I'll have to go pull that article and I'll drop it below this episode if I can find it. But I specifically remember talking about that, and it came from Pax's mouth. It's like, even if I have to be removed from my position, things need to change up and down this organization if we really, really want to bring fans back. And that's the thing, is like, he also talked about too, not seeing any fans show up to these games consistently. I promise you the Reinsdorfs see that. But combine that with the fact that one of the most loyal guys to you over the last 20 years and John Paxson is telling you, hey, shit ain't right here and we need to change it. We need to change it now. So I understand why Will said give Pax some credit. And I think you and I even agreed that he deserves some credit for really voicing and influencing the Reinsdorfs even more so to just say, finally, let's cut the cord and let's restart this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe it's semantics a little bit, but I would prefer to use a term other than give him credit.
Yeah, there's something better to use. I agree with you on that.
Right, you know, like an exasperated thank you, finally. Something along the lines of, dear God, like, if that didn't happen, where would we be? A hypothetical question. Because, and again, that goes back to kind of what I was saying a minute ago. If John didn't do that, where would we be? Yeah, Michael maybe, and then also Jerry to a smaller degree, started paying attention to, hey, there are stadiums empty. What's going on? Our ratings are down. Our merchandise sales are down. What's going on? And you know, so maybe they had started to pay attention to that a little bit more, and John had to be the one to finally break the ice and nudge them in the right direction to say something has to change. And again, I mean, if Will wants to phrase it as, you know, you got to give John some credit for that, okay, fine. I would prefer to look at it through a different lens, which is, you know, I'm relieved that that happened, but I'm not sitting here standing John Paxson to say, look at this great, wonderful thing he did for us. I mean, if he wanted to, and maybe he did want to, and Jerry just wouldn't let him, could have stepped down a while ago when people had been calling for him to. And, you know, obviously people being a fan base, and why do they care whether or not the fans think they're doing a good job? But, and to Will Perdue's credit, that is something he said when we chatted with him on Monday. It was, maybe it was a little overdue for John to go to ownership and say that. And I would agree with him on that part.
Fascinating thing is, too, I think we had a conversation about the last time, and maybe it was right before Jim Boylan was hired and they gave Paxson a little bit more authority. Maybe it was after that first year of the rebuild where he went to ownership and basically said, like, I don't want to do this job anymore. And they threw more money at him and it kept him happy. I guess it gave him a little bit more control and benched Gar Foreman from talking.
Kind of slink back to the shadows and away from the public, and they made him do less media stuff. And then Gar kept coming out here and putting his foot in his mouth. And so the Reinsdorfs made John go back out and take over those responsibilities.
We studied the options. You can just see the vibe.
Yeah, that didn't help John Paxson's. It didn't help his patience, and it also didn't help his credibility when he was getting shit on for moves that he really couldn't control. And again, he deserves some blame for the way things went and the way things were handled, and totally agree with that. But yeah, I would agree with you. I think there's a different word to be used besides credit, and maybe it is just a quiet thank you for finally putting the Garpax era to complete rest and allowing this team to move forward completely. There's a couple other things from this Will Perdue interview I want to get to, Matt, just to react to and get your thoughts on it. But before I do that, I want to tell our listeners about Built Bar. Built Bar has been a sponsor of the Locked On Podcast Network and Locked On Bulls for the past several months, and they've been fantastic to us. I've been telling you guys about their 12 original flavors, including German chocolate, raspberry, peanut butter, but they also have 6 new flavors. Those include an awesome flavor in caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and 4 other delicious new flavors. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate and soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the healthy, conscious guy or girl in your life. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. Great for the keto diet. One of my favorite bars is the peanut butter bar. I keep continuing to tell you guys about that. Doesn't make me feel guilty about wanting a chocolate fix early on in the day. And I'm also somebody who hates breakfast, so these Built Bars are perfect for me. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Matt, the other interesting thing in this conversation that I didn't get a chance to pull and should be more mentioned is before this conversation happened about Paxson and the credit stuff. He said he didn't remember where it was coming from, and he doesn't remember the exact source or if it was a comment one-off by Michael Reinsdorf just saying that we're a billion-dollar company, we need to start acting like one. I'm curious, did that spark your memory of anywhere where Michael Reinsdorf said that, or you remember reading that anywhere? Or I wonder if it was just like one of those off-the-record kind of comments that was made to somebody after a frustrating loss or accumulation of weeks of frustration that Will ended up hearing that. But I was curious because I do remember something along those lines being said by Reinsdorf.
I mean, I remember in our conversation with Will on Monday, like I remember my ears perking up when he said that because I didn't immediately recall ever in recent days, months, seeing any written work by any, people on the Bulls beat or any national NBA journalists or elsewhere, or even like hearing someone who was on a podcast say something like that about Reinsdorf saying that phrase about we're a billion-dollar business and we need to start acting like one. And maybe just from the sheer volume of sports news that I ingest on a daily basis, I just ingested that and didn't keep it up, upstairs. But I feel like that's something I would have remembered hearing that Michael Reinsdorf said, because I feel like that is a comment that would have immediately gone viral on Bulls Twitter. And I don't remember that happening. Do you?
No, I don't. And I do agree with you. That would be a moment where it's being retweeted and talked about left and right. It would be something that even in the worst moments of this Bulls season would be a headline for 2 days here in Chicago. I don't remember it either, which makes it more interesting too, because if that's some of the comments or the thoughts that Michael Reinsdorf is having behind closed doors, he's probably frustrated too with the way that things have gone, not only financially, but the way that the team is being thought of by its fans, by the people around the NBA. I mean, you went from being one of the class organizations in the entire league to being a laughingstock within 20 years. And I think that irritates Michael Reinsdorf, especially somebody who grew up a Bulls fan, grew up being able to live through the 90s. Michael Reinsdorf is young enough to remember that and understand what that means to Bulls fans, even if he is a billionaire or a multimillionaire and he owns the Bulls or his dad owns the Bulls. It doesn't matter. I think a comment like that says a lot to me about wanting to regain the trust of Bulls fans, and you can take it for what it is. If Bulls fans out there that don't believe us or don't want to buy into that until they actually see stuff on the floor, I get that 100%, and I'm with you on that. But I think there is some frustration too from Michael Reinsdorf, where he was a little handcuffed as well as like, I don't know, my dad's got final call on things, and we're still not acting like the business that we should and having the pedigree that we should.
And I think whether or not that's something that was said behind closed doors, or if that was a one-off conversation that maybe Will had or Will was privy to with the Reinsdorfs, that's fine. And it doesn't really concern me what is said. You know, the age old adage of actions speak louder than words. I could care less what Michael Reinsdorf says, but what we have seen since April, when they followed through on what we heard of, yeah, we're going to make changes in the front office. And at the time I said, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, we've been calling for change for years now. The United Center is half empty, if that. People are not watching anymore. People are losing interest. People are either rage tweeting about the Bulls or ignoring them entirely. And yet still here we are, and we're hearing these votes of confidence from ownership, not only in John Paxson and Gar Foreman, but in freaking Jim Boylan. So I always said I'll believe it when I see it. Well, we've started to see it. We've started to see the actions follow all of the words. And that, to me, speaks a hell of a lot louder than anything that Reinsdorf could say about operating like a, you know, for all intents and purposes, a big market team instead of a small market team, because that's what we're talking about here. So we know that AK didn't come cheap to be lured away from Denver. And we also know, in actual dollars, that Billy Donovan did not come cheap. And compared to some of the would-be first-time head coaches that were on that short list that the Bulls had, is exponentially more expensive than any of them would have been. In addition to AK getting the approval from the Reinsdorfs to pay Jim Boylan to go the fuck away. So far, their actions back up whatever statement that was, if and when Michael Reinsdorf said it, about we need to start acting like a money that has, like a business that has money to throw around. Because the thing that we heard about the Reinsdorfs and money up until what, like midsummer, a few weeks before Jim Boylan was fired, was that one-off comment Jerry made about how he's going to lose out on all this potential revenue and all this money between his basketball team and his baseball team. And it drove Chicago sports fans into a goddamn panic.
There's something to be said about that too, Matt. There is definitely something about that with the timing of all the moves that have been made in 2020. Think about all the revenue that is made by the Bulls at the United Center. I had mentioned it. The last report that they had from 2019 said that the Bulls made roughly around $650 million just at the United Center at games, game day events. That's a shitload of money, that you're losing in 1 year. Double that with owning a baseball team too. So if you're me and you're somebody who likes to question things a lot, the timing that lines up that there may have been pushed along because of COVID, because of not being able to have fans in the stands and not really knowing when the return date of that will be and how many fans will actually return and when things will come back to normal. That always goes back to the dollar amount. Is Jerry knows you can't combine the team not having fans show up at the stadium being 25% full with having some of the lowest ratings your team has ever had digitally and on TV. It's just because your team is stunk. So not only are people not watching from home, they're not showing up at games. If you can't have fans at the games, the ones that are willing to come and spend the money, and you're alienating all your fan base watching the games, you have no fans left, you have no money to make. So I can understand why they pressed this a little bit too. When you think about all the fans being reinvigorated and how much that's going to drive ratings back to the Bulls, there's something to be said about the timing there too, I think, with combination to COVID and not allowing fans back into the stadiums till, I don't know, we still have no timetable on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if you read the latest column from Shams for The Athletic that was earlier today, but he was talking about, he had like a sit down with Michelle Roberts, the head of the Players Association. And they were talking about a bunch of different stuff, including potential timeline for next season. And it's still, you know, Michelle Roberts was saying like maybe late January, maybe early February. Clearly not going to do the Christmas Day opening thing. That's way too soon. And was also talking about the money and how it's going to work and how they're going to come to an agreement on a new CBA. And the Players Association and all of the governors of the league figuring out a way where everybody's okay with the split of what's happening and the losses that they'll have to eat, and then trying to figure out how to slowly get back towards making money out of this league that just took a gigantic hit. And fans in the stands is part of that. And the number that we keep hearing from that report and from several others since this shutdown happened back in March, 40% of revenue comes from fans through the turnstiles on game day / game night. 40%. That is a massive number to go from whatever that is all tallied up to zero for the number of games remaining that they had on these teams' schedules. Some of whom, the Delete 8 didn't play those games, and some who did go down to Florida played those games but had zero fans in the stands, obviously. We're starting to see some fans in like college football stadiums and NFL stadiums, which are obviously, should be mentioned, outdoor arenas. So that's better, obviously, than indoor spaces, but still not great, in my opinion. And if the NBA really, really wants to get some people in the stands to make some of that money for the upcoming season, I still can't see them signing off on anything above 25% capacity. And even still, that seems like a bit much, assuming we are still living in a world without a vaccine for this virus. So there are still so many question marks that the league needs to sort out as far as when those, when that revenue can come back, when that revenue stream can come back. And where, from the Bulls' perspective, the fact that they are doing all of this while still not having the answers to those questions, I think speaks highly to, A, the fact that the Reinsdorfs finally realized just how bad things had gotten, and B, the fact that they're willing to do what they can and spend what they can and spend what they have to fix it, regardless of what their quarterly reports are going to tell them over the next 6 months.
Make a good point. And there's some more stuff, too, on Adam Silver that I think is interesting, and kind of talk about timelines too, as that continues to get pushed back and pushed back. And I think the idea of that is give these players a little bit of an extended off season, not rush anything, and hopefully be on the more positive, optimistic side that they can at least come to some type of agreement with a partial audience for 2021 season. I mean, that's the only way possible. I mean, I can't imagine these players in this league can sustain another 82 game season where there's no fans in the stands. Financially, it just doesn't make any sense for them if it means waiting another month or two to let 25% of the fans in. And this is all optimistically, too. This is all thinking very, very optimistically. And Adam Silver said the exact same thing, as we don't know for sure. This is a tentative timeline, and it is subject to change. So it's very interesting.
Before we wrap up today's show with a couple more thoughts on our interview and our chat with Will Perdue from Monday, wanted to tell our listeners about Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses. You know, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it tonight. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, it's safe, it's totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan available. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and again, completely discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. And complete their online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today, and if approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA.
Anything else that stood out to you from Will Perdue's interview that you kind of wanted to react to? Thinking about the draft process, thinking about some players on this team, thinking about what he had said about leadership and who's going to take over for that. Anything that really, really stood out to you, Matt, other than the things that we've covered so far?
Well, I did think his answer about the draft was interesting because, you know, I asked him, as somebody who watches a lot of college basketball and does work as a you know, color commentary guy for college basketball sometimes, how he would see this year's draft playing out, because it's just, to me, it seems like it's going to be so weird and so different with a shortened and not at all by the book NBA draft combine. We've already had several players withdraw, and that's something that has happened before. As Will noted, for whatever reasons, players have different reasons for opting out of the combine or removing themselves from the combine early. But just a lack of sample size to work from, especially from players coming from college programs here in the States who had their seasons shut down early because of the pandemic. And Will's answer to me seemed to be like, no, like, you know, they're going to go through things a little bit differently this year, but they still are going to have their scouts and their evaluation process. And he seemed to be fully confident in AK and the Bulls' new executive staff targeting the right player to add to this roster, despite all of the weird variables that are going on. Did you find that interesting, Jordan?
I did too. And like him even saying too, that the promises to made from teams, that happens every year and it's going to continue to happen this year. I guess it kind of makes sense, though. They have all the film that they already needed from majority of games outside of March Madness, which honestly, March Madness can do two things that are very polarizing. It can make you be super excited about a guy that maybe you weren't convinced on before and end up ruining the pick that you were thinking about making. But it can also flip side. It can rise guys in draft stock. It can rise guys in their overall talent and exposure just from that 1 month of play. And it turns out to be very, very good and very successful for a lot of teams who bank on that. I guess maybe he's just not concerned because of the amount AK hasn't been involved in the past with how the draft process and the combine goes. Combine that with the fact that Mark Eversley has had a huge involvement in all of the teams he's been a part of in the draft and to player development side of it. Plus, you've got Billy Donovan, who's a great asset too. You mean to tell me he doesn't still have connections all throughout college? I guarantee you he is. And that combine that with the fact that Will said one of the biggest things that they did and one of the biggest things that they've harped on throughout this rebuild is working on player development, and Billy Donovan's going to bring that for him. So maybe that's why, like, combine all of those factors together, and maybe that's why he's not concerned, even with the special circumstance of the draft and the combine this year.
Yeah, and I am still very curious about how all of it's going to work. You know, we are, what, a month and 10 days removed from the draft as of right now, assuming it sticks to that November 18th date that it had gotten pushed back to from its October date. And, you know, there's still plenty of time for us to speculate about these various pieces of the draft, what we think the Bulls might do. And I'm still putting my faith in AK and Eversley, you know, Pat Connolly heading the player development department, that they're going to target who they want in this draft. We're going to add a nice young piece of talent to this roster. To me, it's just a very curious situation when you're trying to get a feel for who these players are, not only on the court, but off the court, you know, like two-dimensional Zoom interviews with potential draft prospects. It just seems like another challenge to go through this draft process. And I also am curious to see if this year's draft being as haywire as it is will have any effect on the amount of action we see on draft night. I'm not sure if you've thought about that, Jordan, but to me, that's the thing that I find most curious is we've gotten a lot of overhaul as far as coaching vacancies and new head coaches. There's been a good amount of front office changes in the NBA over the past year or so. And with this year's draft class being kind of a meh draft class and this pandemic and that changing the draft combine and everything else, will it lead to more action on draft night, like draft night trades that happen, multiple team trades that happen, or will we see a decrease in that kind of action and most teams deciding, you know what, there's already so many variables we're juggling, let's just stick with what we know, what we have with our evaluations. When our team's name is called, when we are on the clock, we will take the best player that we see on the board. Do you think we're going to see less action on draft night? Do you think we're going to see more because, you know, executives say, well, hey, this is already crazy. Let's see if we can help ourselves a lot by adding a little bit more crazy to it.
I do think that there's a point to that. There's going to be a certain cluster of teams that are going to take advantage of the unknown, right? Let's capitalize on not knowing what the value of some of these guys on the open market's going to be over the next two off seasons. Like, even the ripple effect from COVID, once things get semi-normal, there's still going to be huge after effects in the draft and for trades and for signing people throughout the next couple of off seasons. So I think there's going to be teams that take advantage of saying, we've got some flexibility here. We maybe can buy low on some players that teams are willing to shed in order to still kind of see what their opportunities are on the open market. Because what we were talking about, what, 2022 summer is going to be a huge offseason for a lot of stars in the NBA. Some teams are going to want to be more flexible there. Matt, if I were to put a feeling on it, I would say I think there's going to be more activity than we're expecting in and around the draft, and even maybe a few weeks after the draft too, because of just so much unknown with free agency and the off seasons and teams wanting to shore themselves up, but also too, some teams that don't really have anything. There's nothing for them that's putting them at a disadvantage from not making maybe an aggressive move or two that they wouldn't normally make. And I think maybe the Bulls even fall into that category where you make an aggressive move or two, and that's the way that AK wants to play it, and take advantage of buying low on a player or buying low on trading away for a future draft pick or two. Maybe the Bulls are just that team to do that.
Knowing how willing AK has been to be active on draft night, that would not surprise me. And I keep saying on this podcast, anytime anybody asks me about my opinion about what the Bulls are going to do in this draft, I keep saying I would not be disappointed at all if we see them trade down on draft night. Even in a weak draft class, there appears to be a fairly consensus, top three with Wiseman, Edwards, and Ball. I would also be fine with them staying at four and taking a player like Killian Hayes. But we've seen AK be willing to be active on draft night. And right now, my overarching mentality and philosophy as a Bulls fan is trust AK.
There's no reason to not to, right?
There is no reason not to, which is why it was driving me crazy and also making me laugh a little bit when a couple months into his tenure, 3 months into his tenure, we had, Doggable Nation, to use our pal Fred's words, out here calling for AK to resign and or for the Bulls to fire him. Because it's like, well, if he's not going to change anything, then what is he doing here?
I've never yanked guys.
Excellent use of that drop. Yeah, man, I'm Or as my buddy Big Dave from Outsiders likes to say, just let the man cook. I am letting AK cook right now, man. Whatever he wants to do on draft night, I am down with it, because right now I am all about trusting in his experience and his ability to right this ship.
I'm still more like, even thinking about theme prior to the draft, I'm still very interested on what they're going to decide to do on the three players Will had talked about, Dunn, Valentine, Shaq Harrison. The contracts and the decisions that they're going to have to make on those guys, I think, fascinates me. We can continue our conversation on Will Perdue and react to a few other things too. Anybody listening out there, if you've got a burning question or thought after some of these interviews that we've done earlier in the week, you can hit us up at 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com